This is Doug Farrar with Shutdown Corner, and we have a very special guest on today's podcast, Tim Yotter from Viking Update and Scout.com and FoxSports.com Network. Tim, we've known each other for 5 or 6 years, and I know you've covered the Vikings for over a decade. I guess the first question in the wake of Brad Childress's firing is, in the entire time you've covered this team, have you ever seen drama like this?
Not as extended as this drama period has been. I mean, when we start going back to 2009 and they began pursuing Brett Favre, basically ever since that, it's been a little bit of a circus. Obviously, last season, you know, things went fairly smoothly, but then you get back into this offseason. Will he retire or won't he again? Will he have surgery or won't he once again? Then he finally comes here, you know, they send down the three players, Ryan Longwell, Steve Hutchinson, Jared Allen, to go get him in Mississippi. After that, you've got Randy Moss coming in, then you've got Randy Moss being fired, and now Childress being gone. It's been a crazy, incredible hiring ride for the last, at least the last 3 months.
When you talk about the last 2 years of the Childress era, and I know there are personnel people in there too, who's really been in charge of this team? Because you could say that maybe Wolf has been, maybe Childress has been, to a certain extent, maybe Brett Favre has been in charge of this team. Who's really driving this plane right now, and maybe is the problem that no one is driving this plane?
Well, when it comes to personnel decisions, it's supposed to be a joint effort, but it's clear that Childress has had the final say in those personnel decisions. Basically, it was written into his contract, from what I understand, especially when he signed the extension. But, you know, the problem with the way he went about Randy Moss and releasing him was that, yes, Childress is supposed to have that final say, but he is also supposed to inform the front office and ownership when things like that are done. And he informed the players that this move was going to be made before he had talked to Will, before he had talked to the front office about it. And, you know, basically at that point, the cat's out of the bag. You almost have to follow through with it, or all of Childress's credibility is gone. And I think at that point, it's just either, okay, we're going to follow through and actually release Moss, or we're going to fire Brad Childress. And Ziggy Wolf, I think, was hoping that things could turn around with Childress. And I also think when Ziggy came in and found out everything that had been going on with Randy Moss, you know, we know about the yelling at the caterer and other incidents where he was getting after teammates and getting in Childress's face. I think at that point, Wolf decided that, well, either way, whether Childress was here or not, Randy Moss was not fitting in with this team, and so that was the easier move at that time. But, you know, where it goes from now will be interesting to see if Ziggy Wolf decides that his original plan when he bought the team in 2006, his quote-unquote triangle of authority, where the decisions were basically supposed to be split between Childress, the vice president of personnel, Rick Spielman, and basically their contract negotiator, Rob Brzezinski. You know, Childress basically overtook that power struggle and made the decisions to his. Now will Wolf decide that he needs a strong general manager, or will he hire another head coach and then start to give that guy the general manager duties as well? So it's an interesting decision that will have to be made here in the coming 3 or 4 months anyway.
Certainly. And, I mean, this is, I believe, what, 13 months after Childress signed that extension. It's been about a year either way.
Yeah.
What was, because, I mean, I'm sure you read the Sean Jensen piece and your readers responded to it about, you know, the players saying basically we hate him and we're winning in spite of him, and of course they aren't winning. But what was the final tipping point for Wilf? Was it the sweep by the Packers and just, the putrid second loss? Or was this emblematic of a larger issue that Wolf finally responded to, because it seemed like everything was running down the same hill at the same time?
Yeah, well, Wolf really hasn't responded to interview requests or gotten into details on what was going on. So, you know, we'll find that out today at the press conference. He's supposed to be involved with that as well as locally Frazier. But I think what he saw was just a general lack of response by the players to Childress and his coaching. After Childress released Randy Moss, Wilf went and talked to a number of veteran players to get their input on things, and I'm sure he was told at that time that there are issues with Brad Childress between him and the players, and more of a dictatorship, I think, than players want. Now, players are never going to want, obviously, too much control over them, but I think it was just the fact that the players aren't responding on the field. I think if Ziggy Wilf had his way, he would have been able to go, and turn things around with Brad Childress in here. But clearly, that wasn't working. 3-7 wasn't going to get it done after they went 12-4 last year to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, this is kind of a chicken and egg question. Certainly your Bill Parcells' and your Tom Coughlin's kind of rule with an iron fist, but because they win, the players tend to be okay with it. Do you think if the Vikings were 7-3 instead of 3-7, that Childress's authoritative style would be seen differently by everyone in the organization?
As long as you're winning, it is going to gloss over everything. But even last year, there were players that weren't real thrilled with that sort of leadership style. I know that in the Carolina game in 2009 with the Vikings, Childress admitted that he considered benching Favre, and that didn't sit well with Favre. And really, Childress has had a history of basically run-ins or disagreements, differences in philosophies with veteran quarterbacks. And this goes back to 2006 when Childress took over as head coach. Brad Johnson was brought in to be the quarterback. He had issues with it. Gus Frerotte had issues with it in 2008, and Brett Favre has had issues with it 2009-2010. So I think even though they were winning last year, it was clear that there are certain players that weren't real happy with sort of the my way or the highway mentality. So it's just what it is. Winning is going to cure a lot, but when you're not winning, a lot of those blemishes are going to come out.
Yep. So enough with the old guys. Out with the old, in with the new. A common holiday theme, and here we are. Tell us about Leslie Frazier. I mean, the obvious comparisons to the Dungy style of management, which again is more inclusive, less authoritative, more of a, you were talking about a triangle of leadership, and maybe he's into that too. And I know the Seahawks were looking at maybe getting him and Dungy together at some point. And the second question about Frazier is the Vikings defense is kind of underperformed this year. And that's similar to with Jason Garrett in Dallas, how the Cowboys offense had been underperforming. Talk about Frazier, but also what your thoughts are on bringing an interim coach in who's been commanding an underperforming unit, and what effect that might have on his future.
Well, I don't think there was really any choice at this point. I mean, if they were going to get rid of Brad Childress in the middle of the season, Leslie Frazier is the obvious guy to step up and be the interim head coach.
Right.
I think what it does is it gives them 6 games to judge Frazier and see if the team responds, have some time to talk to the players after that 6 game period, and see what they felt, how they felt about the job that he did. And the possibilities of him going forward. But, there's also a very interesting dynamic, and I'm told that Peter King brought this up in his column. I haven't read it yet today, but with the lack of a long-term CBA, it would be awfully tough for Ziggy Wilf to go and fire Brad Childress, pay him the remainder of his contract, which is just a little over $6 million, pay the rest of the coaching staff, all the assistants and coordinators, which was a large staff under Childress, by the way, and then move forward with an entirely new coaching staff that you really don't know when are they going to be needed. Are they needed at all during the offseason? Because without a CBA, the players aren't going to be coming in and going through their mini camps and offseason training programs. Or we don't even know what's going to happen with next season. I mean, at this point, things are pretty adversarial between the NFLPA and the NFL. So how that all shakes out definitely weighs into to owners making decisions on their coaching staff going into the future. So how Leslie Frazier is going to be viewed, he may be given a little bit longer of a leash, so to speak, just because of the fact that there is such an uncertain future with the labor agreement and the season going forward in 2011.
Based on what you know of Wilf and the entire situation, let's hypothetically and hopefully say that there's a fall 2011 season. Do you see him bringing in a Dungy or a Parcells as that sort of super czar overseeing everything, or do you see another head coach as leader as it was before?
Well, I think it's going to depend on who that head coach as leader might be. I think if you get a strong guy, you know, one of the two top possibilities out there, I think, that come to everybody's mind are Bill Cowher, John Gruden. And I think if you get one of those two, then you may end up going into more of a general manager and coach role. If you don't go that route, I think you need to bring in a strong general manager. And let's not forget, Ziggy Wilf, before he bought the Vikings, all his life grew up as a huge New York Giants fan. So he knows very well what Bill Parcells is all about. Now, does that mean that he's interested in hiring him? I don't know at this point. It's too early to say. But I do know that Wilf has a great respect for the way that things were done with the Giants organization, especially when they were having a lot of success before Wilf ended up buying the Vikings.
Okay, let's get to the question that I don't want to ask because I'm sick of the whole story, but I have to ask it anyway. What happens to the quarterback?
This season or going forward?
This season and going forward.
Okay. I would guess that if Brett Favre is going to be around, he is going to be the quarterback for this team, at least for the next couple of games, until they are solidly and completely and officially out of it. And I say that because I know that there's about a 0.001% chance that they come in and turn this thing around and squeak into the playoffs at 9-7. I don't see that happening. But I don't see any way that you can have Brett Favre on your roster at about $1 million a game and have him be in a backup role. So whether that means that Favre is willing to just step aside and step down for the rest of the season and not get paid the remainder of his contract, or if Wilf is willing to eat that and go forward with Tavares Jackson for the rest of the year, yeah, I don't know. But I'll say that Tavares Jackson has had a few opportunities to really grab hold of the starting reins before Brett Favre was here, and he failed to do that. So this team already knows basically what they have in Tavares Jackson, which is a questionable starter. Would Jackson perform differently in a new offense or under a new head coach that is not Brad Childress? You know, he might, but he wasn't able to really get a hold of things while Childress was here, so that may be a longer process than they're willing to go through. The other thing, the CBA plays into everything these days, and right now, as things stand or as business in the past has been done in the NFL, Tavares Jackson would be an unrestricted free agent coming up this offseason. So, really what they're left with on the roster is Jill Webb. a rookie that wasn't even drafted as a quarterback. He was drafted as a wide receiver in the late round. So, that is one of the million-dollar personnel questions and the top of the list that will have to be decided. If not within the next six games, last six games of the regular season, it's going to have to be talked about in the first couple months of the offseason.
And I don't think that anyone really sees Favre doing anything after the season, given the way he's played this year. You have to assume, Webb is kind of a nice hybrid guy, great athlete, might be an actually dynamic receiver in time. But going forward, and this being... the reconstruction has to start at some point. The Vikings are one of the oldest rosters, and you and I have discussed this before, one of the oldest rosters of the last 10 years. And this was the all-in season that just didn't go that way. So now I mean, do they have to blow everything up because Jared Allen has underperformed and Pat Williams is getting on and the offensive line, which has always been sort of on and off, I mean, even the guys like Hutch are not what they were. Is this a total implosion and rebuild, or can they sort of stitch it together enough to maintain a near playoff presence?
You know, I think they can stitch it together if they find that right guy at quarterback for next season, and that's probably going to have to be out on the free agent market or trade market. You know, who knows what would happen with Donovan McNabb if he's released, and that was the obvious name that everybody turned to because of Childress and his familiarity with McNabb, but you know that may change now as well. Now that Childress is gone, and will there be a new offense that McNabb's not familiar with? I think they're going to have to find a guy that they can either trade for or find a free agency to patch it for a couple of years, and then look to draft a quarterback, you know, in the first couple of rounds to develop over a 1 or 2 year period while they're getting it together. But I don't think they can blow this whole thing up. The other tangential thing, I've talked a lot about the lack of a CBA and how that's going to affect things. The Vikings are also looking for a stadium, and if they blow this thing up and basically give the appearance that we are going to be rebuilding for a couple of years, that's not going to help the stadium effort. You would hope that the taxpayers would look a little bit more long-term, but I don't think there's any question when you're talking about fringe fans, guys and gals that are willing to jump on and off the bandwagon with every loss or win each week. I don't think you can say that they're going to ignore how the team is performing right now. And Ziggy Wilf has spent a lot of money on this team. They're one of the top salaried teams in the NFL these days, and they've got one of the worst stadium situations as far as revenue goes. So to blow it up and say we're rebuilding and we're not going to spend a lot of money, I don't think that's going to help their stadium situation, and I don't think that Ziggy Wilf, who is first and foremost a fan of football, is willing to do that, whether the stadium's part of the equation or not. I think he wants to have a competitive team every single year, and so I just don't see that in his nature.
Two final questions, and thanks again for your time on such a busy day. First of all, what do you think Wilf and his people have learned from the way this thing has gone down?
Well, I think, number one, they probably want to make sure that there's a better open lines of communication between coach, personnel, department, and other decision makers there. When Will first came in and Childress first came in, Fran Foley was their quote-unquote, you know, general manager that they had, and that didn't go well because he and Childress butted heads early on. And one of the two, it was pretty clear we're going to have to go. And with Childress being the coach, I think it made sense at the time to move on with him and see what he could do. I just think that they learned that they're going to need to have somebody in there, whether he's making all the decisions or not. They need to find somebody that's willing to get input and willing to keep the lines of communication open, both with the rest of the front office and with the players, and I think that was one of the shortcomings of the Childress era, was just a lack of, respect for other people's opinions and keeping the lines of communication open.
And then the final question, certainly this isn't something you want to contemplate, but the Vikings have been one of two teams, along with the Jaguars, who have been most named whenever the subject of Los Angeles comes up. Do you think there's a legitimate chance that if that stadium doesn't go through, that the Vikings could move?
Well, I don't think that'll happen. I don't think any decision will be made on that in the next year. But the fact of the matter is the Vikings' lease in the Metrodome is up after 2011. They have refused to sign an extension because they know that all that does is postpone the pressure that they'll be facing the politicians and the voters, this coming legislative session. So I think it's a possibility if nothing is done in 2011 or 2012 with the legislative session. but I would say in the next year, I don't think it will happen. I don't think a decision will be made then. But I think this, the pressure is going to be ratcheted up. If nothing happens in 2011 as far as the stadium goes, I think you're going to start to see a lot of veiled or unveiled threats being made. And, you know, at this point, I can't say I really blame the Wilfs if they go that route, because they have tried, you know, ever since they bought the team, and this goes back even to the Red McCombs era, of the team talking about how outdated their stadium is compared to the rest of the NFL, and it really is. Anybody that's been to the Metrodome knows that. It's going to happen at some point. Now, my guess is that the Wilfs are going to try to be as cooperative and friendly with the legislators making the decision this coming session, and if that doesn't happen, I think it's going to get real ugly after that.
Well, certainly a team in transition, which is why, and here comes the plug, if you want all your present and current and future Vikings news served on tap, you want to go to VikingUpdate.com, where the great Tim Yotter, a longtime friend and excellent football journalist, will be serving it up. Tim, thanks again for your time. I know it's a very busy day, and you're soon off to the Fraser Wilf press conference, where things will certainly get even more interesting. So thanks again.
Yep, thanks for having me, Doug. Appreciate it.